Good morning. I'm going to share this with Telegram. Let's see what happens if I share. Hello, share live, share link. Let's put this on Telegram as well. Try and get a few more. And we're back. Hello, Brian of London here in my forest. Good to see people joining. It is once again hot and summery. Thanks, invite your friends, invite everybody. Google and Project Veritas and Facebook and more about our legal case, which, well, a few things to say. So Google, first of all, and Project Veritas. I'm sure most of the people in my circles will have known about Project Veritas's video, which was contained two parts, which was undercover footage of a Google employee who has the most brilliant business title, which I think I'm going to have to co-opt. She was the she's the head of responsible development. And I think I'm going to have to become my company's head of irresponsible development because it's just too good to pass up. Anyway, the head of responsible development, Jen something or other, and I won't say her name because she'll give a privacy problem. Just shooting the shit in a restaurant in San Fran and just saying that they can't allow another Trump situation to occur. Now, I don't know whether she's in a position to actually make that happen, and she probably isn't, but Sargon last night put out a video which I haven't watched closely enough. I have to go back and watch it properly. I was kind of half listening to it in bed. And Sargon's video is fantastic because he goes and finds the public pronouncements of this woman. So after the video came out, she, you know, went and hid under a rock and deleted her Twitter account and LinkedIn and all that other stuff. And then she put one post on Medium, which says it's all out of context and la la la, and yada, you know, yada, 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 the usual bullshit. But when you match what she said in private to the things that she did actually say out loud at the Google Developers Conference, which makes her a public person, okay? She appeared in public speaking on behalf of Google and her team at Google. So there's no way that she's a private person. Yet, those are the grounds on which YouTube deleted Project Veritas's video. And this is really interesting. And I haven't made a big thing of this, but about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, some journalist in the UK wrote a stupid, thick as shit book on the so-called far right. And one of the people mentioned in the book was Tommy Robinson. And this was very much from the hope not hate perspective of everybody to the right of Corbyn is far right. So she wrote this book, and for some reason, Tommy agreed to go and have lunch with her. And Tommy actually periscoped the whole lunch surreptitiously. He just had his phone propped up and she was being a bit dumb. Anyway, he just nailed her on point after point after point. She knew nothing about Islam. She didn't know anything about Tommy. She just had a bunch of buzzwords to talk. And she was a so-called journalist and a so-called author of a book. And it was one of these books that's paid for by the far left. And just a nonsense book that nobody will ever learn anything from, because it's just full of bullshit. Anyway, Tommy filmed all of this and he put it on Periscope Live. And as I used to do, I captured the Periscope and then I put the Periscope straight up onto Google, onto YouTube. Within a couple of days, that video was taken down with a privacy complaint by this woman. Exactly the same way in which Project Veritas's video was taken down. And under the similar circumstances, it is not illegal, by the way, in the UK or in California, where Veritas did their video, to do one party filming. So to surreptitiously film another person, and it is definitely not illegal if it is newsworthy, and which it certainly was in that case, and it was even in the case of Tommy and this silly author. But nevertheless, the video came down. So What I did was it was a long, boring, tedious video, except for about 2 minutes that were decent. So I chopped the 2 minutes out of context. Actually, they weren't out of context. I gave a good 2 minutes. And I put a big yellow smiley face over her face, and I disguised her voice. And that video remains on YouTube. So F you, stupid author, whose name I can't even remember because you're so insignificant that I've forgotten. And I'm not even going to try and remember the name. But those were the grounds on which Project Veritas's very successful and very important video, uncovering yet another piece of evidence in the huge pile of evidence that shows Google is trying to pervert democracy and to pervert Western civilization with this kind of far left, everybody must think the way we do. And I'll just break here for Channel Ident. Yes, I am from Israel. I am Brian of London in Bereshit Forest, which is a sort of clump of trees, a slightly large clump of trees in the middle of Tel Aviv, actually, in the park called Hayakon Park. And to the right, to my right, to your left, is the river, the Hayakon River. And I'm sitting in this park after I walk, and I am in Israel. And I am not in Palestine, because Palestine has not ever been a real country. Palestine today is an invented, artificial identity, invented in the late 50s, early 60s, to destroy the Jewish nation of Israel. That's my last word on the subject. I am an indigenous Jew living on my indigenous land, where Judaism was born and where my people come from and had our cultural and religious coalescence. That is the land of Israel. As everybody knows, really, but Palestinians just choose to identify as something, anything, to be an Arab that can supplant Jews who have now returned home in great numbers, and we're holding the place. Anyway, I will ignore future comments of nonsense. Back to Google and Project Veritas. In fact, I'm just going to mute you so I don't have to see you. Project Veritas, fantastic work all along. And this Google thing, and now they've got more documents and more insiders coming forward. And what we're going to discover, and it always comes back to this essay that I talk about from time to time, Modia and Mundia. My favorite way of separating the world into clumps politically that I can deal with is not left and right. It's people who deal with the real world and have to live in the world of science and agriculture and building things and engineering and dealing with real solid concepts, and that includes computer engineering and designing computer software that works, or fabulously impressive cryptography that secures our communications, or Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies. People who invent that kind of stuff have one kind of brain. People who can deal with other people and deal with interpersonal relationships and to deal with the power games that go on of who is the person to follow and whose ideas are more politically correct at the time and who is fashionable. People who deal in that world have a different mindset. And what happens in technology companies, and Google is just a classic example of this, Facebook, Twitter, all of them, this happens. They're built by the engineers. An engineering idea, the brilliance of search ranking, the algorithm that Google came up with, the brilliance of the sort of how to actually build and scale a social network that works, and it just works. That's engineering brilliance. You have to be rooted in the real world. But then what happens is you have to build a company, and the building a company involves an HR department and hiring more people and the people to people skills. And then who takes over these companies are the people who know how to manipulate others and get them to do what they want and to rise above them and to see who to follow and then when to drop that person, who's fashionable, who's not. These are the two clumps of the world. And all of these tech companies in Silicon Valley have been captured by this people, what my friend calls these two worlds, Modian and Mundian. Modia is the world of real things, of building, of farming. That's why Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a classic a classic Mundian. She lives in the world of people. But when she sees a plant growing, she's totally shocked by this, because that's Modi and that's real world. She has no link to the real world, to farming, to how things get built. None at all. She just totally knows how to do power games and who's in power and who's down. And that was the language that Jenj and I used in the Google video. That's this very, very dangerous language of power dynamics. And it leads you to a political philosophy that promotes equality of outcome rather than equality of opportunity. What engineers know is that you can all design a bridge, and you can design many, many bridges, but only the only ones that work are the ones that are going to actually stay up and follow the laws of physics and work. And to say that all bridges are equal and that we must build all bridges, regardless of whether they're physically capable of holding themselves together, that's what the modern left and the progressive left and the thought patterns that you can see evidence going on at Google, where they must protect with fairness the downtrodden. Who is downtrodden? Well, it certainly isn't Jews in Israel, of course, because you know they're powerful. It's not minorities, it's the right minorities. And that's why, you know, in Britain they're seeing, you know, they're running into a huge fight now because they're discovering that that conservative, I don't like using that word, that observant or religious Muslims are not going to take very well to having their children educated about the realities of their being LGBTQQAAIIPPWZ Alpha Bravo Charlie parents with their kids at schools, even in a religious Muslim setting. They just don't want their kids to be told that it is okay for little Muhammad to have two Abduls as his parents, rather than an Abdul and an Aisha. If you tell that to conservative or religious Muslim parents, they get upset. But this is the whole problem now that the left, with this vastness of identity politics, is running into. Good luck with that. The main problem is that you've gone down this path of trying to ensure equality of outcome rather than equality of opportunity. And that's what Israel's all about, actually. Judaism is about equality of opportunity. We all have the opportunity to be good or bad. We can't determine what we will be. And back, how this ties in, I'm still talking about the legal case with Andrew, JBB Liberty. We're working on something. We're really working hard to get the press interested. And that is, because we really need to launch this thing into the public consciousness. There's a graphic that I'm sending out to privately at the moment, but it'll go out live sometime next week. It just shows the actual exact Facebook in January of 2018. They gave an example of an advert you cannot put on Facebook. And the advert would go something like, click here to learn more about a no-risk cryptocurrency that allows you to send money to anyone in the world instantly. That was an example of an advert you could not place on Facebook. Quietly, they reversed that policy about a month ago. And then a week ago, they launched Libra, their cryptocurrency. And if you read in the brochure, their brochure contains all of the words that were banned by Facebook's own policy. So they purposefully destroyed an industry. They did everything they could to destroy an industry just over a year ago. And now they launch into it with a $1 billion massive play to capture that industry. It is totally disgusting, totally illegal, and we are going to sue them in Australia. And literally, if you know anybody, we've raised quite a bit of money for the case, but we haven't raised everything we need. We do need, and if you know someone who really is ideologically on side and has a few tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars to spare, this could well be a massive investment opportunity, because whoever puts the money up for this case is going to receive 25% of the damages. And seeing as the headline damage figure that we're going after is about $500 billion, which is twice the size of the largest class action ever settled, which was the tobacco lawsuit, which was fought by all the states in America against all the big tobacco companies. If you know someone, Donald Trump Jr., can we get to him? If you know any of these people, if they want to actually have a bit of a pop at these massive tech monopolies outside of America, because they're really tough to take on in America, especially with the legal system and with the political system so scared of them. We can do it. We will take them on in Australia, and we have an absolutely fantastic legal case against them. We had a good legal case before they launched Libra, but after Facebook launched Libra into a market that they purposefully colluded together to destroy, don't think that just because it's guys in Israel, and Andrew's a tough lawyer. He is a good lawyer. He is smart. And we've got some other people in the background, but what we really do need a really big, if we knew that we had massive pockets behind us, I think this, we could make a huge dent in Facebook, Google, and Twitter, and all the others, actually. There's a few others. Anyway, I'm Brian of London. I'm in my forest, fighting against the censorship of big tech, using big tech's products, because I'm still on Periscope, I'm still on Twitter by some miracle. I will be uploading this to 3Speak, my friends on the blockchain. Call me Dan, and the guys at Oracle D have built something quite amazing that works, I think, very nicely, starts quickly. So 3Speak.online, you'll see me share the links from Twitter and so on. And it'll be on my blog, brianoflondon.me, which is my little home on the web, the one that's hard to take away from me. Thanks very much for tuning in. Looking forward to the weekend and having a bit of a swim and maybe surfing. See you all. Brian of London here in the forest in Tel Aviv, signing off. Shabbat Shalom. Bye.